As we noticed this morning, I would like to begin our lesson this morning in Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verses 22 through 28. And we find here, as it says, according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. Therefore, it was necessary, it says, that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Then it says in verse 24, and it brings in the thought of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where it says, "For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." And as we're all aware, that our Lord and Savior rules in His kingdom today in the heavens at the right hand of God. In verse 25 he says, "Not that he should offer himself often as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another." So it makes a reference here of Old Testament scripture and command of God that the high priest were to go in once a year into the most holy place of the tabernacle and there to offer sacrifice for those of the children of Israel. Christ himself would not offer that sacrifice. Only once did he do so, and that was for all of mankind. Then he goes on to say, "He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Which brings us to the point of the lesson today. And that is found in verse 27 where it says, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." Using the analogy here, or the example of which, where Christ died once for all of mankind, we too must face death once. One thing that I've noticed in studies with others is that everyone is acceptable to the thought of death because we face it every day of our lives. All of us have been touched by death, by loved ones, by friends, by co-workers, whoever it may be. We have been touched by death. During the pandemic, it seems much more prevalent than in other times. But yet, we are all touched by death. And so, it's more forward into our minds, and we think of it more. But when it comes to judgment, we don't think of that as much as we really should. And that's what I want us to look at today. And I've always, in all my lessons, and when you look through the scriptures, you find that not only did our Lord Jesus emphasize the thought of preparation, but we find that his disciples also, in the writings of the letters that Paul wrote, we find in many of his, and most of it, all of his letters, that he emphasized the thought of being prepared for judgment. I want us to look at that today, as we go into our lesson. When we think about the first appointment that's written here, it says it is appointed unto men once to die. I want us to think about death for a moment. When we go back over to the book of Job, and of course, we're all very familiar with Job. We know of the things that Job went through in his life, and the disappointments, and the trial, and the trials and afflictions in his life. And we find him in several passages here. We're going to point out two of them. In chapter 7 and verses 7 through 9, we find that Job says this. He says here, "Oh, remember that my life is a breath." That's how he describes not only his life, but all of our lives. Our lives are just a breath, and then they vanish away. He says, "My eye will never again see good. The eye of him who sees me will see me no more. While your eyes are upon me, I shall no longer be. As the cloud disappears," he says, "and vanishes away, so he who goes down to the grave does not come up." As a cloud appears and then it's gone. And then we also find, if you turn your Bibles over a little further in the book of Job, to Job chapter 14, and verses 1 and 2, we find his description here where it says, "Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." Again, we see that temporary emphasis that he's putting on life itself. Life is not permanent. It is temporary. It is very quickly gone. I describe myself, and I think of my life, and I'm 62 years old now, and back when I was in my late 20s and early 30s, you know, I wasn't even thinking of 62. And how quickly it has gone by. And I'm sure most of all the rest of us here can think of the same way, that our lives are quickly just moving on. Life does not stand still. And so as we find here, Job, as he describes this here, he says it is only a few days and full of trouble. We come forth like a flower, and then we fade away. And he goes on to say he flees like a shadow and does not continue. Again, we just see here how that Job describes death and or the life that he had and how death quickly is approaching him and how it approaches each and every one of us. When we think about the psalmist David and his description of life itself in chapter 90 and verse 10 there, we find there, and in fact in verses 9 and 10, we can see it says, "For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it says it is soon cut off, and we fly away." Glendon and I were talking on the phone yesterday, and we were discussing a little bit of that. How that our lives, I said to him, I said, you know, some people describe, you know, the older age as the golden years. And I said, I'm not sure how that works and it comes into play. Because as it is, it's just as the psalmist David says here. The older we get, the more troubles we have in our physical lives. And our physical strengths are taken away. And we find that there are things that we are limited in our physical lives. So we can relate here to what David is saying here about this physical life on this earth. We won't be vibrant and full of life and everything in our elder years. That will soon fly away. We find in James chapter 4 and verses 13 and 14, it describes there our lives like a flower that appears for a little while and then it fades away. We have several rose bushes around our house, and it is. It's so beautiful when they bloom, but then quickly they're gone. And I think about that very thought when I see those blooming out and knowing that in a few days or a week or so, they're going to be gone. And then he also describes life there in the book of James as a vapor that appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. Once again, our lives are very short, very undetermined, and yet we find that so many people, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 24, they make plans for the future, and they think of things that I will do, and I'm going to do, and this is going to be accomplished in my life, but yet they fail to recognize how frail life is. And as the writer says there, he says, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass, and the grass withers, and its flower falls away. It is soon gone. Here's where we need to think about preparation. I guess if there's a theme to my lesson today, it would be that of preparation. And I need to ask myself, am I prepared for death? As I've described and before in lessons, that I used to work in a funeral home. And I guess that was the point, and I was younger then, a lot younger. And I soon recognized that life and death, that death doesn't take only the elderly. There were many that I assisted in their funerals that were of young age, in their early teens, in their early 20s. Maybe some had just become adults and had lost their lives, whether to some grave illness or some accident that happened in their lives. Our lives are very frail, when it comes to life itself. We are not promised, as David in his psalm says, of living to be 70 or 80 or 90 years old. There is no promise of that. But we'll soon look at another promise near the end of my lesson. But I want us to look at Luke chapter 12 and let's think about this idea of being prepared for the end of my life. I know a lot of people don't want to think about it. In fact, whenever people start, our loved ones start talking about their lives coming to an end, and I need for you to understand and be prepared for certain things here. And we always want to say, I just don't want to talk about that. But we do need to. We need to think about death. We need to put it in its proper perspective and be prepared when it comes not just upon us, but upon others also. In Luke 12, and notice there in verse 16, here a parable that Jesus spoke about a certain rich man. And his ground, it was very, I guess you would say, it was very well fertilized, and his crops came forth so well. And in fact, he had, as some would refer to it, as a bumper crop. He had so much crop that he could not fit it all into his barn. And so it says that he thought within himself, and many times, as we know, when we think for ourselves, we get ourselves in a lot of trouble. And here is no different. And here it says there in his thoughts in verse 19, he says, I will say to my soul, soul, you may have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He put his confidence in the material things, his crop. And he thought he was well situated and well set in life. But yet what we find here in verse 20 is, God said to him, Fool, this night your soul will be required of you, and whose will those things be which you have provided? See, we can't take anything of this material life into eternity. It will remain here in the physical realm. And so all that we accumulate in life, and we put such priority in it, and we put so much security, this false security in it, it's just going to be done away with and lost. The emphasis of the lesson here is that we need to be prepared spiritually. The song that we sung, the first song there that we sung, I thought was a very good song. You know, leaning on God and looking to God and making God my life. That's how we need to look at our every aspect of our lives, at putting God in it and keeping Him in it and making Him first in my life. This man did not do that. And so it says there, he who lays up for himself treasures upon this earth and is not rich toward God, he will lose his life. He will be spending his eternity in condemnation. In Matthew chapter 25 there, and again, I'm not going to be reading all of this for time period, but yet we find there in Matthew 25, it talks about 10 virgins. And I'm sure everybody's familiar with the story of the 10 virgins and how that they gotten themselves ready to go to a marriage feast. And here they waited outside the doors, waiting for that marriage, for the bridegroom to come. And as it says, the bridegroom tarried. It says that five of those virgins, their lamps started dimming out. Why? Because they had not prepared for a long wait. A lot of people today are like that. They start out and they obey the gospel and they're faithful for a while, but then after a while they're like, well, it's just long time coming. And then they start looking back into the world and they go back into the world, and then all of a sudden the bridegroom comes and here we're caught, unprepared. That's exactly what happened in this story that Jesus tells of these five foolish virgins. They didn't come prepared. They weren't patient. They didn't expect the wait. And so they were unprepared. And when the bridegroom came, those who were prepared, those five virgins, they went in to the marriage feast. The doors were shut, it says. And here comes the five foolish virgins after they had quickly come up with something, you know, some oil for the lamps. And they get back and they find the door shut. And The other virgins aren't there, so they realize they're inside and we can't come in. It's too late. If they had only come prepared from the beginning. And that's the way we need to look at our lives. Every day, look at something that will help me to be more prepared for that day that I will die. The day when the preacher will be preaching my funeral. The day that I'll be lowered into the ground. We can't wait till that day. We've got to be prepared before that day. And that's where these five foolish virgins fell way short of that. We go back over to Matthew chapter 16, and we notice there in verses 24 through 27, again, Jesus has this to say. He says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow after me." In other words, Jesus has made me the priority in your life. Putting yourself second and putting Him first. For what profit, and he goes on to say here, or let's just go to verse 25, I skipped over that. He said, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life or denies self and puts Christ first, for he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Now he brings it kind of emphasizes here in verse 26 what he's trying to say here. He says, "What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" Now there's something we just need to stop and think about for a moment. And think about on a personal note. What profit would it be for me if I gained everything in the world, if my bank account was overabundant, if I lived in a fine mansion, if I wore the nicest of clothes, if I ate the best of the foods? What profit will that be for me in eternity? What profit? And then he goes on to say there, "What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" It reminds me, going back to Luke chapter 16, talks about the rich man and Lazarus and how that they both those men died. Of course, as Lazarus, as we know, he had prepared himself. It was very obvious because when he died, it says the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. And he was now comforted. But when it talked about this rich man who fared sumptuously every day, and just as it says here, when it says there he profited of all the worldly gain, but then when he died, he lifted up his eyes being in torment, and he would have given anything to have been comforted. That's what we need to think about. What would we give in exchange for our souls? But see, it's already too late because we've passed from this physical life. Turning your Bibles back over to Philippians chapter 2, or chapter 1, I mean, and verses 21 through 24, we find there it says this, "For to me," Paul says, "to live is Christ and to die is gain." Now let's just think about that for a moment. Paul is saying here, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Paul is a perfect example of this idea, this thought of preparation. We find here it says, he says, "If I will live in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor." Now as we know, Paul dedicated his whole life to the cause of Christ. He made Christ his priority. He denied himself and put Christ first in his life. He is the perfect example of what the Lord is expecting from each and every one of us. He knew that if he lived in the flesh, it would be a benefit and of success for those hearers who heard the word of Christ and followed it. And then he goes on, but he says, "Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell." He wanted to be beneficial in the kingdom, but yet he had that desire to be with the Lord in heaven. He says, I am hard pressed between the two. Having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is, he says, far better. When we think of the pains and the agonies of this physical life, we think about the disappointments in our lives and the trials that we all face, it definitely will be far better with the Lord. And Paul recognized that. Nevertheless, he says, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. He recognized his need on this earth. And as we live our lives on this earth, we need to recognize our individual needs and what others can benefit from us as well as we benefit from them. And how we can all be beneficial in growing and becoming stronger in the Lord. But yet having that strong desire to be with God in heaven rather than to be on this earth. We find in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that in the last days of Paul's life, we find there that some of the things that the comments that he made to Timothy here was, there in verse 6, he says, I am already being poured out as a drink offering. He knew his time of departure was at hand. His death was coming near. Now here was a man that had prepared himself. How do we know that? Because it says in verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I need to ask myself, how hard am I fighting this spiritual battle that I've made myself a part of? I have fought a good fight, he says. I have finished the race. Asking myself, am I still competing in the race? Or have I given up? Have I fallen short? I need to get myself back up and get back in the race. Here Paul said, I finished the race. And then, importantly, I have kept the faith. He had done all that God had asked him to do. He recognized that the end of his life was coming near. And he felt confident in verse 8, that there was laid up for him a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give not only to him, but he recognized that this is unto all. All who what? All who have fought a good fight, who have finished the course and kept the faith. Preparation. Accomplishing what God has set us out to do. Fulfilling it to the best of our ability. In Revelation 2:10, we find there he says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. When we think about the second appointment that we read there in Hebrews chapter 9, where it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. This second appointment, we will not rest assured, we will be in attendance too. We will be there. Each and every one of us. When we turn our Bibles back over to John chapter 5, and notice there in verses 28 through 29, here we find here the writer says this in chapter 5, and notice there he says, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. Making that reference to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as God the Father sends him back. We find in the Thessalonian letter it talks that he will come back taking vengeance on them that know not God and those who do not obey God. There is going to be a coming. Now Christ will not set foot upon this earth, but as we see here, we will all meet him in the air. He says there, he goes on there and says there that they will come forth from the dead and they will hear his voice. They will come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. The reference made here to that of the judgment. We will all face judgment. Those who have died before us, those of us who are present, and those who will be in the future. Until Jesus comes again, each and every living soul will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. How do we know that? Well, we look at other passages. We look at Romans chapter 14, and we notice there in verses 10 through 12 of chapter 14, it says, but why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. we shall all stand, he says. For as it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Rest assured, each and every living soul upon this earth, from the day of Adam till the end of time, the last person born into this world of accountable age will have to answer for the things that they have done in their lives. Each and every one of us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we find there in that particular passage in verses 6 through 11, we see there that it tells us this. It says, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. There's going to be a confidence that's inside of each and every one of us that recognizing there is a heaven. There is a God who is over us. There is our Lord and Savior who is ruling in His kingdom. We need to have the confidence that if we live faithfully unto God, that we will eventually have that home in heaven, and we will no longer be absent from God, but we will be present with Him. That's the confidence. For he says, we walk by faith and not by sight. The world looks at everything by sight. And there's no belief, there's no faith. But when you read into the Scriptures, when you read into the Gospel accounts of Jesus, there's where the faith is obtained. As we talked about in class this morning, it would be a wonderful thing to be able to go and to see some of these places that we read about in the Bible and then to see them and be present, like Jacob's well or whatever it may be. To be able to see and be right there where the burial place of John the Baptist was. And all that does is reassure our confidence in God and His will. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. See, that same confidence, that same desire that Paul has. Looking forward to being one day with our God in heaven. We find in Revelation chapter 20, it uses this thought. It's a revelation that is given unto John here. And we find here in chapter 20, in the latter part of that chapter, we find that it talks about this judgment. And it says there in verse 11 beginning, it says, I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Talking about those of the world. And he says, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. Now we need to take into account all of the things that are going to be there present in the day of judgment. Here we find that it talks about books that are being opened. What are those books? Those books are exactly what we have right here. The accumulation of the books that make up what we refer to as the Bible. We are going to be judged by this very book. Everything, every account that God has given, every instruction, every commandment, we are going to be judged by it. And then he goes on to say there that not only are these books going to be opened, but then there's this book of life, referring to the other book. Now this is a vitally important book, because within this book there are names written in it. And as it says there, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And it says, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Now see, here's where we find, and if you take into account Luke chapter 16 that we made reference to about the rich man and Lazarus, it talked about Lazarus being in comfort, being in paradise. It talked about the rich man being in torments and in flames. When we physically die, we don't directly go to heaven. There is a place prepared that God is putting us in, our spiritual souls, where they will await the judgment day. That's why we read back there on those other references, it talks about the dead, that they will hear the voice and they will arise. What we see here, he talks here, he says, the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Heaven, our final abode, is not the final abode until after judgment. And as it goes on to say there, they will be judged according to their works. Death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Anyone not found? Now here's where that book of life comes into play. We talked about the books that were opened. We talked about how that we would all be judged out of these books. But that book of life, anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Roger made mention of that song, you know, Anywhere with Jesus. And he reversed it. Well, now think about this. Anyone not found, written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. That's why that book is so important. It contains the names of those who are faithful and righteous before the eyes of God. But if we're not faithful and righteous, if we've not prepared our lives in this physical life, our names are not going to be written in that book. And we will be cast into the lake of fire. These are the things that we need to think about. And not just think about them, but let's put it into practice to make sure that my life, to make sure that I am prepared for death when it comes upon me. So that when I face Jesus in the judgment, that I will be able to hear from my Lord and Savior, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter ye in." I want us to close with this thought. Romans chapter 2. If you'll turn your Bibles over to Romans chapter 2. And this will be my final thought today, and the lesson will be yours. In verses 1 through 13, we find here, it says, "Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things." Now we find many passages where Jesus says, you know, removing the beam out of our own eye before we try to assist someone with a splinter in their eye. So many times we're so quick to judge others and how they live their lives when our lives are in shambles. And so he says, "Be cautious about how you judge." He says, "For we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, the forbearance and long-suffering that He's demonstrated, not knowing that the goodness of God is what leads us to repentance," he says. Sometimes we forget about that great love and compassion that God has given to each and every mankind. Every one of us. And we take for granted that love and mercy that God demonstrates. "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath, revelation and of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life, who will that belong to? as he says here, it'll belong to those who by patient continuance, see, we're not giving up, we're patiently continuing on and doing the things that are needful, but impatient to those who by patience and continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But that those who are self-seeking, those who are worldly-minded, who are making the world their priority, as it says there, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man who does evil. Now again, I make that reference back to Luke 16. Now, Jesus gave us that story to demonstrate just how much torment the unrighteous will have. When it came down to it, all that the rich man begged for was just the tip of Lazarus' finger in water to cool his tongue. I cannot imagine that much torment and that much pain and agony. But rest assured, the Lord has prepared a place for those who are unrighteous and unfaithful unto Him. And as it goes on to say there, glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good. For there is no partiality with God. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law. And as many have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For notice he says, not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but we've got to be the doers of the will of God. Just as we find in James chapter 2, and it talks about Abraham. Abraham was justified by the things he did in obedience to God's will. His faith alone was not enough. It was his act of obedience to everything that God commanded him, even to the death of his own son. That's the kind of faith God is looking for in each and every one of us. A working faith that is looking forward to that home in heaven. And if you're here today, you need to ask yourself, what do I want to face in judgment? What kind of a situation is it going to be like for me? Well, as I put here in the outline, it could be glory, honor, and peace with God our Father. A home in heaven where there is no pain, no sorrow, no agony, no death. Everything would be glorious. Or we can choose rather to be disobedient to God, to be unprepared in the day of our death. Then we will face the wrath of God. No man wants to face the wrath of God, rest assured. It will bring tribulation. It will bring anguish to each and every one. Let us make some wise decisions. If you've never obeyed the gospel, make a wise decision today to do so. To not only be a believer, but be obedient unto God. In full assurance that He will forgive us of our sins. If we're in the audience today and there's those of us that have sin in our lives, that sin spots our lives. It is a spot of sin that needs to be removed. It only can be removed if we repent of it. And ask God to forgive us. And He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Whatever your need is, I would hope and pray that you would come forward. While together we stand and sing the invitation song, let us sing.